You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 11th of November. Happy Veterans Day to all out there. We are going to look at the numbers on the candidates for the Jazz 23rd pick as the field begins to narrow. And do those poor numbers make you change your plan? We'll do our beginning of our best in category series as we walk toward the draft and look at some other draft numbers. Plus lots of talk about LaMelo Ball, Chris Paul trades, and more. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show. Happy Veterans Day, particularly to Tony Wiggins, to Dave of Locked On Chargers, and David Harrison of Locked On the Bucks. Those are three veterans we have on the Locked On staff, and I want to just wish them a happy Veterans Day and thank them for their service particularly. We have launched episode one of the Locked On NBA mock draft. 5-day series on Locked On NBA. It's incredible. Make sure you listen and tune in. It's just great. It gives you great insight. We've got three experts on the desk, then Chad Ford and Jeremy Wu and John Hollinger all stop by. So it's pretty great. All right, here's what I want to do today. As all the mock drafts are coming out, the field is beginning to narrow seemingly for who the Jazz have as candidates. It is seeming more and more like there's probably five guys that are on the board for the Jazz that are not centers and not point guards. And maybe actually one of these is probably a point guard that's going to be available at 23. Josh Green, 6'6", 210, 19 years old, out of Arizona. It seems like that's a possibility. Jaden McDaniel, 6'9", 210, freshman out of the University of Washington. Seems like that is a real possibility. Desmond Bain, older, out of TCU. Seems like that's a possibility. 6'6", 215, 21 years old. My guy, Robert Woodard. I might be the only one who likes him in the world out there. At 6'7", I think, 235 pounds and an Adonis of a body. Let's look at these four players and look at them through the numbers that I've been talking about in the players. And it's a little discouraging, right? I'll be honest. None of them are great. So we look again, if you've not joined us before on this, I break it into athleticism, playmaking, shooting, and creating. And I use numbers to do it because I haven't watched all of them. So athleticism, I believe you see two numbers. You see transition finishing, and you see isolation percentage, and how they do in those two. So Josh Green, on athleticism, 79th percentile finishing. His isolation percentage in only 15 opportunities is 67%, so there's not a lot there. He didn't do a lot. Jaden McDaniel, 6'9", 210-pound, Adonis of a body, transition percentile, 28%. The one of the lowest of anyone in the entire draft, 22-year-old Cassius Winston is lower. One of the Patrick Williams, Florida State, is lower. That's it. And his isolation, only 5 isolation attempts, nothing to take there. Desmond Bain, older player, TCU, remember, older players' numbers should be good. 50% transition percentile. Isolation, 27 attempts, 97th percentile, one of the best. Is there something there worth taking a look? Robert Woodard, my guy, 50th percentile transition and 33 percentile in just 15 isolation steps. So none of those four are very good. Cole Anthony is a guard that's being mentioned, 24th percentile in transition. 92nd percentile in isolation, 61 attempts, which is a lot. So he's one of the better isolation players on a team with no spacing. That's intriguing to me. That's worth going to watch. All right, let's go look at, and we're going to keep Cole Anthony in this group just because I think he might be such an undervalued player that you have to look at, but he's really a guard at 6'3". So now let's look at playmaking, which I think is pick and roll, right? That's kind of what I've gone off is pick and roll just into playmaking. We probably could extend it to some extent. These are all wing players. So do they have any pick and roll screens? Josh Green, 14 pick and roll attempts, 15th percentile. It's pretty ugly. Jaden McDaniels, 51 pick and roll attempts, 77th percentile. Okay, is there something a little bit there? It's 6'9", 210. He might be able to handle a little bit, be able to see the floor. That's interesting, particularly on us. Desmond Bain, 85th percentile in pick and roll in 91 attempts. Oh, okay. Robert Woodard didn't run pick and roll. Okay. So another wing player, when this is all done, I'm going to bring back into the list of conversation here in a second, because when we're done with this, you'll see why we probably have to extend the group. All right, so let's go shooting. Cole Anthony, by the way, pick and roll, 136 of them, which is one of the highest numbers, 38th percentile. Now let's look at shooting. Start with Josh Green, 77th percentile on spot up, 85th percentile on catch and shoot, and on unguarded catch and shoot, which I like as a number, I just think it tells me something, 94th percentile. Okay, now we got something. 6'6", 210, really long, I think 6'10 reach, and seems to be able to shoot at 133 spot-up attempts, 64 catch and shoots, 21 of 41 on unguarded, 76% effective field goal percentage. All right, I'm a little happier now. Let's go to Jaden McDaniels, the 6'9", 210-pounder out of Washington. Spot-up percentile, 46th percentile, 132 attempts, which is a lot. His catch-and-shoot numbers are actually in the 82nd percentile, and his catch-and-shoot unguarded in the 85th percentile, and just 11 of 24. But they're, okay, like not terrible, something there, some touch. Desmond Bain, TCU. Remember, he's the one who just came out well in isolation. His spot-up is in the 90th percentile of all spot-up percentile, 115 attempts, so a lot. His catch-and-shoot, just 76th percentile. His catch-and-shoot unguarded, 73rd percentile, 29 of 66. Robert Woodard, my guy, who everyone says does nothing well. Well, they might be right. 49th percentile in spot up, 54th percentile or 69th percentile on catch and shoot, 77th percentile on 14 of 32 on unguarded catch and shoot. So pretty average. And then I've just not sure why, but I keep leaving Cole Anthony into this conversation. 74th percentile on spot up, 85th percentile overall catch and shoot, 96th percentile on catch and shoot unguarded, 14 of 26. All right, so we've got some good bodies, don't seem to have a lot of playmaking, don't seem to have elite athleticism in a lot of cases, though some signs with Anthony and Bain, and shooting pretty good on most of them other than Robert Woodard. So let's go creating. Let's start with Josh Green. 9th percentile in jumpers off the dribble, 21% effective field goal percentage, 7 of 33. So the summation on Josh Green, he's a catch and shoot, 6'6", shows no playmaking, good athleticism in isolation, 6'6", 210, long, you know, seems to be maybe a 3 and D guy. I did like him. Like, for 23, I liked him. Jaden McDaniels, off the bounce dribble, 54th percentile, 39 of 117. That's one of the highest amounts of anyone. So he can get his shot off because he's 6'9", 210, and he does it at the bounce because he plays the game like he's a horse with blinders, as I've said. But 54th percentile. Desmond Bain out of TCU, off the bounce, 95th percentile. He is 47 of 110. That's pretty high level. In fact, Desmond Bain, of all the players I've looked at, has this, other than Emmanuel Quigley out of Kentucky, is the best off-the-bounce shooter that I have seen in this draft. We'll dig into Bain a little bit more in a second. Robert Woodard, off the bounce, 40th percentile, 13 of 38. And then Cole Anthony, only again in here because of the fact at 6'3", because he's just, his name is just circulates around our pick all the time. 72nd percentile, 34 of 91, 44% on off the bounce shooting. That's actually not terrible. That's actually pretty good. So you look at those five guys that are the guards and wings around our pick, and I got to be honest, one thing I've said this entire draft is that I'm not drafting a point guard or a center if I'm the Jazz because I don't see a route for them to getting on the floor. In other words, they've probably only got 14 minutes behind Rudy or 14 minutes behind Donovan on our roster, and I don't want to use a pick for that, particularly a center where I can just go find one at the minimum around the league. However, there is a possibility that the league's move away from bigs means that when the talent you're looking at in Green, McDaniel, Bane, Woodard, and Anthony are not completely, you know, are at 23 are pretty unclear, then maybe we should be taking a larger look at some of those centers or those guards, that Malachi Flynn, who you're really pretty certain can play. Like, if you listen to our mock draft, which I've heard all of already, and you listen to our experts about Xavier Tillman, they love him. They love him. So I think that that's, you know, there's got to be a little bit of a discussion of whether or not we should be actually doing something I've kind of been talking the other way around about. All right, let's look at Desmond Bane when we continue, and then I want to start a new feature on the show called Leaders of Categories of our draft prospects. I'll have that for you as well as we get ready. The draft is a week from today. Like, we have five shows for us to hang out and talk about the draft. And that's it. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. My good friends over at Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street, also located in Logan and in Linden. Love the SUV lineup, whether it's the Santa Fe, the Tucson, the Kona, or the absolutely beautiful Palisade. I want to make sure that you get an opportunity to drive one of these amazing vehicles. And the way I want you to do it is by emailing me first at dlock09@gmail.com. And when you do, we'll give you the opportunity. We'll set you up with a VIP treatment, have the meeting for you before you get there so that you don't have to go through all the rigmarole of coming in, who's helping me, who's not. We'll make sure that the best single person's there to help you out and get you that VIP meeting and have it, check it out. Hey, here's the deal. You can decide what car you want, but you should at least take a second and look at what is there to offer and what the possibilities you can get with Hyundai are, because you can get more for your dollar with great safety features, great bells and whistles, and fabulous cars. It's all at Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street, also located in Logan and in Linden. Today's show is brought to you by Built Go. Built Go is the new power, gel, energy, juice that you need when you hit the wall during a day. Built Bar is talked about a lot. Well, now we have Built Go for you as well. Built Go comes in 1.5 ounce little gel packages. You can put them in your golf bag. You can put them in your briefcase. You can just have them by, I have them by the Peloton when I'm sitting there riding, if I'm going on a double ride or something like that. Check it out at Built Go. Three flavors right now. There's the chocolate coconut, which I had just the other day. There's the chocolate mint, and there's the peanut butter honey, which I will never have, hopefully, because otherwise I'll die. Here's the cool thing about Built Go. Combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen is a fast absorbing, so it gets into your system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite your work. Go to BuiltGo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. NBA mock draft. Locked on NBA is up. Make sure you go listen. All right, Desmond Bane probably came out as the best player that we just looked at. TCU senior, 21, 6'6", 215. Transition percentile was not great. He was very average, which is not great, by the way. The only players worse than Desmond Bane in transition Patrick Williams, Florida State. Cole Anthony, North Carolina. Nico Mannion. Jaden McDaniel. Grant Riller, interesting senior out of Charleston. We'll dig into him between now and the end of the week or the draft. Cassius Winston out of Michigan State, 6'1", 22-year-old non-athletic guard. That's the only one. When you're in the 50th percentile, and Robert Woodard is right there too, the guy I love so much because he's an elite athlete. They're just doesn't show. Bane's one-on-one work is good, 97th percentile. His pick-and-roll handle was interesting for a guy who's 6'6". His spot-up was 90th percentile. So the numbers on him are pretty darn good. And the 95th percentile in jumper off the dribble. So let's look at who this guy is for a second. Let's start off with his age. He's 22 years old. He just turned. So he started his senior year at 21. He started his junior year at 20. He started his sophomore year at 19. He started his freshman year at 18. Nothing unusual about that. But the rule on these guys when they're this old is they better dominate. And so the way you look at a player that's this old is you go back and analyze what their numbers were when they were at right age. A 21-year-old, in the case of Desmond Bane as a senior, dominating a bunch of 18 and 19-year-olds is pretty unimpressive because a senior dominates a freshman in high school and an eighth grader kicks the crap out of fifth graders. So what was he when he was 18 playing 18-year-olds and 19 playing 19-year-olds? His freshman year, he played 21 minutes. He shot 51%. He averaged 7 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist. His sophomore year, he did start 32 games. He scored 13 points a game. He shot it really well at 46% from three in 4 attempts a game and 78% from the line. So he was okay. He certainly wasn't dominant. He played 30 minutes a night for TCU. He got much better in his next 2 years when he was older. So it's a little bit of a concern. You would have liked him to be a little bit better in those areas. But the shooting does seem to hold. He's a 43% career three-point shooter on 575 college threes. That's a lot. His free throw shooting is 80%, so that shows. So there's a nice touch. There's a metric on him that's a little unnerving. He's 6'6 with a 6'5 reach. That's pretty rare to have as a negative reach on a wing player. It makes him, while he's 6'6, he's much smaller than that. And so, that's something that probably we should keep. You put that down as a pretty large negative on him. He was not a major recruit at all. He did not receive a Division I offer until his senior year when Furman offered him at the end of the November signing. He then ended up committing to TCU in May. He was not rated on any of the recruiting services. You know, that's not the end of the world, but it's a little concerning to me. But it also explains why you have such a late kind of development on him in those kind of in that stretch of who he is. So, his steal and block rates are, he had 23 steals in 18 conference games, which isn't bad. It's one a game and he had 11 blocks. I haven't watched him. I'll have to keep an eye on him, but it was worth kind of and I've downloaded some games to watch him. It's worth taking a look at him. I'm not going to lie to you. The negative reach is pretty concerning to me I just think it's, frankly, it's an important aspect. He's 6'6", 215, and he's crazy strong because he's 22 years old right now. He should be able to defend, but that lack of length makes it hard. He was in the 88th percentile of one-on-one defense this last year, according to NBA.com, so that's a positive on him. That's, I think, probably the best overview I can give you on who he is and how he breaks down without having watched him, and I will do that. All right, I want to do a feature call here, and the idea is that we're going to look at a category of all of the draft prospects I have on my board. I can't do the European players. I have 47 draft prospects on my board right now, and we're going to look at one of the categories every day for the next 5 days. And just, you know, just to show you the best. So who's the best in transition? Who's the best in isolation? Who's the best pick and roll ball handler? Who's the best catch and shoot guy? And who's the best jumper off the dribble? Those will be the five we look at over the next five shows before the draft. So let's look today at who is the best in transition and who have the best numbers and the worst numbers in transition. We think it shows athleticism. So in 37 attempts, Jalen Smith out of Maryland, 6'10", 225 is the best. If he's on the board, it'd be hard for the Jazz to pass him. Zeke Ngio, the 6'11 center out of Arizona, is next. Again, only 36 attempts. Obi Toppin, 22-year-old sophomore, 22-year-old sophomore out of Dayton, 95th percentile transition. Killian Tilly, 95% transition. He's interesting. He just can't stay healthy. Devin Vassell, Florida State, 6'7", 195, 94th percentile in transition. Tyrese Halliburton, 93rd percentile in transition, 59 attempts. Sadiq Bey, 93rd percentile, 53. James Wiseman in his limited attempts. Xavier Tillman, Michigan State, 6'8", 245. Pretty interesting that 6'8", 245, he's that good in transition, only 47 attempts. And Aaron Nesmith, 90th percentile. So that's the elite group of athletes in transition. The next tier, Cassius Stanley, Duke, Isaiah Stewart, Washington, Tayshaun Alexander, Tyrese Maxey, Elijah Hughes, Syracuse, kind of all second-round picks. Anthony Edwards in here. Peyton Pritchard, 22-year-old out of Oregon. Isaac Okoro out of Auburn, high pick. Kira Lewis Jr., Alabama, I like a lot. Josh Green and Emmanuel Quigley out of Kentucky. Those last few I kind of stretched just to get Quigley and Kira Lewis and Josh Green mentioned. They drop out of the 80th percentile. The lowest players in transition, Patrick Williams, 31 attempts, 17th percentile. Cole Anthony, 106, 24th percentile. Cassius Winston, Michigan State, 133, 25th percentile. Jason McDaniels, 96 attempts, 28th percentile. Those four, considerably less good than anyone else. Grant Riller, Nico Mannion, not great. Robert Woodard, not great. For all my love as athleticism, Desmond Mason, not great. Taylor Bay, not great. Let's look at one other athleticism category today of best by category for you as we sort this and look at players, and that's going to be isolation. I do think this tells you something. I think isolation is important. Like, which guys just flat out can beat their guys in isolation one-on-one. Now, college isolation is funky. There's no space. It's hard to see. You know, you're going to be a better, as weird as this is, you're almost always going to be a better isolation player in the college pro game than the college game because there's so much more space. But if someone's good at it in the college game, it generally jumps out at me that's worth taking a look at. I'm going to look back and show you a year ago as well how that played out. So let's go first to a year ago, 2019. The best isolation percentages. Zion Williamson was at 86%. Brandon Clark in 27 attempts only was at 86%. Grant Williams, Clemson, now at Boston, 90, played a pretty good year, 94th percentile in 70 attempts. So those were the best guys. There just weren't a lot of guys. The next, Jarrett Culver was pretty good. He had a lot, but not great. DeAndre Hunter was there, not a lot. He wasn't great. And Ja Morant had a lot, but he wasn't great. Turned out like Ja Morant going from Murray State, where everyone zeroed in on him in isolation to open floor, was better. So the best isolation players, 26 attempts. Emmanuel Quigley, 6'3", 190, 21-year-old at Kentucky. Isaiah Joe, only 16 isolation attempts. Isaiah Joe's really interesting. That's the player I said I was going to mention. 6'5", sophomore out of Arkansas. Desmond Bain, 97th percentile. He comes up again. Isaac Okoro, only 23 attempts, 97th percentile. Nesmith, only 12 attempts. I'm not sure I think much of it. Tyshawn Alexander, 93rd percentile, 27 attempts. Cole Anthony shows up here, 92nd percentile, 61 attempts, which is a lot, on a team that had nobody that could shoot. There's everything else about Cole Anthony like makes you not want to like him. That number just keeps me alive. Cassius Winston, guard at Michigan, 22 years old. Michigan State, 88th percentile. Grant Riller, Charleston, 23 years old. Here's what's interesting. You look at the best players in transition. 21-year-old Quigley, 21-year-old Isaiah Joe, 21-year-old Desmond Bain, 22-year-old Tayshaun Alexander, 20-year-old Cole Anthony, who's too old for his position, 22-year-old Cassius Winston, 23-year-old Grant Riler, 22-year-old Flynn, the kid out of San Diego State. Those are all the best. Like, they're old. Here's a new name. Jamias Ramsey, 19-year-old, Texas Tech, 6'4 guard, 87th percentile in transition. The only 19-year-olds are Isaac Okoro and Ramsey. The only 20-year-old, there isn't one. It's pretty interesting. The older players are better in isolation. It's why isolation can be a little misleading. Those players that were the worst in isolation with some attempts: Tyrese Maxey, Kentucky, 35 attempts, 25th percentile. Robert Woodard, 15 attempts, 33%. I know, my guy's a terrible numbers guy. I still love him. Sadiq Bey, 51 attempts, 36th percentile. That's concerning to me. Tyrese Halliburton, 19 attempts is all, despite as good as he was, 36th percentile. Kira Lewis Jr., 79 attempts, 38th percentile. Precious Achiuwa, 37 attempts, 39th percentile. Nico Mannion, 24, 41 percentile. Devin Vassell, only 11 attempts. Hard to judge that. Josh Green moves into the upper group. All right, that's our by-category breakdown of players for you on today's show. Today's show is brought to you by Homie, changing the real estate market, revolutionizing the way we look at how we're doing real estate. No need to give 6% anymore. I mean, I always say it made a lot of sense when houses were a few hundred thousand dollars. But now, houses getting more and more expensive. Or even if you're a first-time home buyer and every dollar you're trying to work into your deal is that important? Why are we giving 6%? Homie's doing it differently. They're getting you money back on the back end. They're giving you a set fee on the front end, depending on what you're doing. If you're buying a house with Homie, it's $5,000 they're trying to get you back. If you're selling a house with Homie, it's a set figure for the listing. It's a much better way to do things. Go to homie.com to check it out, or text LOCK to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588 to find out more from Homie today. Josh Lloyd continues his amazing coverage on Locked On Fantasy Basketball. He had Chad Ford on this week. He's got Kevin Pelton coming up. So make sure you jump all over Locked On Fantasy Basketball. All right. Let's just go to some of the league news. We'll do some more player stuff. We're kind of running out spots and the such or time. All right. There's a really interesting thing going on about LaMelo Ball. So Chad Ford did his podcast with Mike Schmitz. Chad Ford did his podcast and he's number one on their board. Josh Lloyd's done a bunch of stuff. He's number one on the board. Locked On Podcast Network, they do it. He's number one on their board. Zach Lowe did his podcast. He's number one on the board. David Thorpe came out and eviscerated him today on True Hoop. Lack of fire, lack of energy, lack of desire to be good. And yet everybody who likes him starts to talk about the possibility of having this same kind of concern about who he is as a player. And to me, that's pretty eye-opening that we're having those kind of concerns about a player of this nature who's the number one pick a week from today. It's amazing to have this kind of debate. Now, Thorpe
on True Hoop, to give him credit, is the one guy who's coming out and making stands on players. So he's come out strongly and said, hey, I am all in on James Wiseman and I'm all out on LaMelo Ball. And I've got to give David Thorpe credit because he's really going hard on both those two sides. And we haven't had a lot of guys do that. And so, you know, we'll see how it plays. Why the Locked On Podcast Network mock draft picks 1 through 6 today, you may not hear James Wiseman's name, as crazy as that is. So pretty wild to see how this all plays out and what happens here as we try to understand this draft, who's the most popular, and what's taking place with it. But that the LaMelo Ball part of it is interesting. Biggest news story of the day, CP3 trade being talked about between Phoenix and Oklahoma City. It also tells me one other thing. It also tells me that you end up with a Danilo Gallinari in all likelihood out in Oklahoma City if they're making this. But on the other end, let me back up a step off that, because that might not be, now that I say it, it doesn't feel right. You know what? Getting out from under Chris Paul's contract at $44 million next year is just a mammoth, unbelievable move and doesn't necessarily mean that you're on a rebuild at all. It just means you're getting out from a $44 million contract. And for Phoenix, it uses all their cap space and sets who they are. And I don't know whether that's good or bad to get a $44 million, 34-year-old Chris Paul. He sure was great last year. That is Locked On Jazz today. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hope you're doing great. Appreciate you. Tomorrow, we'll continue our breakdowns. Our best in category will be pick and roll related. Who are the guys who can run the best pick and roll on a team that runs the most pick and roll in the league? That might matter. It's all on Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.